so forth. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. And so forth. It's 215. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Like us at 3 today. 306. We now have 4.4 repeating percent more of the Rick Emerson radio show. So like us at 3. Don and Mike at 7. In some form or another. Let's see. John and Jeff at 11. Stephanie Miller tomorrow at 6 a.m. and so forth. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. We got Tim Riley as the Eskimo. We'll get to here in just a moment. We got to get to this top five. Oh, I got to play the Weekend Geek, too. Let me get... I promise to get a couple of these calls. Let me quickly get these. Get these two, and then we'll go to the city desk. Benjamin, you're in southeast Portland. You're 21. Yes. You're in Loveland. Hello. Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Rick, thank you for having me on.
No, sir. Thank you.
You were talking to Jim Roop there, and you mentioned he was on his way to becoming your chancellor, and I thought... More appropriately, he may be on his way to becoming your Sith apprentice.
Yes, yes. Always two there are.
Yes, my master.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, that was creepy.
I just had a quick comment on the alcoholism issue, and I don't know about the whole disease thing. I know it seems like everything's a disease lately, but there are certain people with, let's say, a genetic predisposition, like it runs in families, and ultimately, but you're correct, though, it is a matter of willpower, of choice, but so for some people, it's a really difficult choice, so... They really need help with it, and I think anyone out there, if you're having problems with drinking, you should get into rehab.
Get help. Help schmelp. I mean, what are they going to do? Sit there? I'm not trying to be little people who are trying to get sober. I'm really not.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, as everything good comes from George Carlin. I think it was George Carlin who talked about the phrase self-help book. And, you know, and he was saying, like, self-help. He's like, you know, if you're doing something, that's, you know, if somebody else is assisting you, that's not self-help. That's help. There's a difference. So I really honestly mean this. I am all in favor of anybody who wants to go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, whatever. They want people to sort of offer positive support and, you know, to kind of help boost their spirits and give them whatever. But, I mean, it just, to me, it just diminishes everybody who's got an actual real illness. When, you know, it's some guy that just, you know, can't quit taking the Jaeger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I would say cancer is a disease. Alcoholism is...
Alcoholism is weakness. That's all it is. And I'm not trying to belittle people who are trying to get over that. We've, you know, everybody's got problems.
Exactly.
And I'm just saying it seems like a disservice to everyone to mischaracterize it as though it was a brain tumor.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But the thing about getting help is that there's usually a whole galaxy of dysfunctional behaviors that go along with... the tendency to drink too much, so you're going to want to get in there and have a lot of that laid bare and
well, that's true,
and work on it. You know, correct a lot of other problems.
I will totally grant you that, and I will say that the one thing, and it's not like I've been through rehab, but I will say that the one thing in my experience, based on the people I know, people who have gone to rehab, and you know, and I know people who are in the program, as they say, in AA or whatever. The one thing that they will teach you, which I do agree, is that they tell you to get a different set of friends. Because that's it, man. It's like if you're trying to, and it's not like I'm some authority, don't listen to me, but it's like if you're, in my experience, if you're trying to quit boozing or trying to quit doing drugs, you got to get new friends because your friends are the ones who are going to get you drinking and boozing, you know, and shooting up again. That's the way it always works. So as Chuck D says, if you can't change the people around you, you got to change the people who are around you.
Exactly. So whether you're an alcoholic or if you're a girl who happens to cut on herself, get help.
Well, no. We need the girls who cut, sir. How else are geeks can't? How else are geeks supposed to get dates?
Well, no. I wrote that song and I was making fun of it, but seriously, you know.
Oh, is this? Are you the borderline baby, Benjamin?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, dude, you got to...
That was meant as a public service announcement more than anything. You know, if you're a girl and this sounds like you, oh, my God.
You got to resend... No, you got to send me the song again, though, because I misfiled it on my computer somewhere.
Oh, you got it. I'll burn it on a CD. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, please to be resending that. Thank you, Benjamin.
You got it.
All right, there you go. That's Benjamin. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the Ministry of Information and Truth with Guy... What would your title be? Just Newsman still? Or?
I guess so, yeah.
Newsman Tim Riley.
From higher down the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. The Salem Police Bomb Squad cordoned up a parking lot at Salem Hospital this afternoon after hospital security officers found a pipe with wires attached to it. Then they were called to Roth's IGA. Also in Salem after suspicious
Roth's?
Advice.
That's who would right. blow up a Roth's? No one.
Al-Qaeda's everywhere.
Remember why you need us.
Meanwhile, hospital staff were sweeping the entire facility for suspicious items. What would they include? all beverages. Contact Lens Solution, shampoo, perfume, suntan lotion, creams, toothpaste, hair gel.
Also people with strange voices who don't look like us.
Meanwhile, bird watchers are flocking to Skagit County.
Did you really just say that they're flocking?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Where a blue-footed booby was reportedly seen for the first time since 1935.
Wait, this is a seabird. No, this absolutely requires... No, I'm sorry.
Doctor, in.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Let's just do that again. We'll fix this. We'll fix this in post. Sir, can you turn my computer up a little bit? I'm sorry, Tim. Do that story from the beginning.
Certainly. Bird watchers are flocking to Skagit County, where a blue-footed booby was reportedly...
God damn it.
Was reportedly seen for the first time in the state since 1935.
Booby doctor is in.
All right.
The blue-footed booby is the size of a goose. It is native to the coast of Mexico. State fishery manager Bill Twite said the blue-footed booby may be seen between Anacortes and San Juan Islands, booby but it's an immature bird, so its feet are white rather than blue.
Booby doctor is in.
All right. That didn't really work out the way I wanted it to. I think.
Now they're going to play macaque.
That's, by the way, we should...
Macaque.
That's a bird.
It's a bird.
Macaque.
You can block to Skagit County to see that also. A teenager is...
Never mind.
Macaque.
A teenager is facing charges after police said she hid razor blades in her hair before fighting with another girl.
Oh, that's a girl who cuts herself in spare time, by the way, and then cuts other girls. That's what's even hotter. A girl who cuts herself is hot. Hot. A girl who cuts herself and then cuts other girls, even hotter.
Well, there was bad blood between the two teenagers. It started on the internet before they fought in person in a Manchester, New Hampshire park.
Wait. First of all, bad blood. Second of all, it started on the internet. MySpace.
Well, Nita Tyler, 18, put razor blades in her hair because she thought her hair might be pulled by her 14-year-old enemy. The fight was supposed to have happened or alleged to have been arranged, said the police sergeant. Apparently, the altercation did take place. One of the individuals, fearing she might be assaulted, had reportedly put razor blades in her hair. Tyler was arrested, charged with a felony charge of reckless conduct. Police say she was charged because the razor blades put the other girl in serious bodily injury. The argument between Tyler and the other girl began online in a chat room frequented by teenagers known as MySpace.com.
There you go. Youth in crisis, kid. 503-733.
Macaque. 2970. Macaque.
I'm sorry, we've just reached that point where we all stopped at once. Should we stop now and assess what we still have to do, Sarah?
Sure.
Because I don't want Sarah to think that I don't
no,
care.
No, today's been good.
Today's been a good day, but see, look at how little we've gotten done, though.
I know.
It's a shame.
I'm saying... See, it's the resigned tone in your voice that's sad. You can just never tell how things are going to go.
He's broken his spirit.
It's taking a long time, but I like to think we've accomplished something. Okay, well, we've got Tim Riley.
Did you ever do the really terrible Cannibal Watch?
No. No, we did not. Would you like to know a funny story about that, though?
Oh.
It's
in the bag with the rest of the watches.
Now, Tim Riley has met... we have two general managers here. We have a fellow named Mark, who is the general manager for us, KUFO, Couple, and The Mix, Best Hits... Rock Hits of the 80s. And there's another fellow named Stan. And Stan is the general manager for our sister station, K-Hits, and also for Kink, who are allowed to do whatever they want. Stan is just, you have talked to Stan, right?
I believe so on many occasions.
And Stan is just, he's just so mellow. Like, take the mellowest, most calm guy, which is not to say that he's not sharp. I mean, he's on task and always thinking, but he's just got some, I don't know, man, he just seems so centered and just... very calm all the time. You get the feeling that he could literally be on a ship in the middle of the ocean that was on fire while radioactive toads were raining down on him, and he would just logically and mellowly and calmly moving through, like, how to save himself. But, anyway, but he's just a very reserved, very professional, cordial man. And so he comes up to me in the hallway the other day and he says, Rick, I was listening to your radio program the other day and, did I hear you doing a story about a human heart simmering in a saucepan on the stove? And of course, then he's the general manager, which means, of course, he could have us all fired and killed. And I said, Well, I believe we may have done something like that, Stan. Please don't fire me. And he said, were you playing Eat It before this and calling it a cannibal watch and then snickering at the consumption of human flesh? And I said, I guess, I don't know. Well, I found it very funny. I chuckled on the way back from lunch. Good work. And then he sort of clapped me on the shoulder and, like, went back to his office. That's it, man. So, and well, I...
Thank goodness it's not one of my stations.
Yes, seriously. I've note to self, never hire Rick Emerson to work for Kink. So, totally. Now, I knew I was right to pass on hiring you last year. Anyway, so there you go. So the cannibal watch had actually been cut in half. Not unlike the heart. Because I decided that it was so horrifying and so awful that we couldn't do both stories at once. It was a double cannibal watch, but we separated them out, not unlike children joined at the hair. And so we did half, which had the human heart boiling in a saucepan.
Yes.
We had the second half. Should we do it now?
It's in the black bag in the hallway.
It's in Creedy's black bag. Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to find it?
I certainly will. Please hang on.
Okay. You find it, and I'll tell you what, we'll amuse ourselves with something else.
Macaque.
I'm sorry, that was an accident.
We built this Starbucks.
No, this is not amusing.
No, we're just waiting for Tim to find that cannibal. In the meantime, let's talk to Paul. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Hey, Rick, long time back here, you were talking about visiting the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, that was like a day ago, yes?
Yes, it seemed like it. Anyway, I visited it last year.
Uh-huh.
And, there's a reason why they closed off the spiral up to the crown.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with security, but you were close about, like, someone was becoming claustrophobic.
Yeah.
They were concerned that if someone had a medical situation up there, it'd be very difficult to get...
It would be impossible. If you had a heart attack halfway up, you would die there.
You would die up there. So that's the main reason why they closed off. But there's a platform just below there that you can look up into it. And I thought that was kind of cool. And the pedestal itself is kind of like a mini museum. They have, the original lantern and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's true. It's very true.
I don't know if you knew this, but, both Liberty Island and Ellis Island are national parks, which means that they are free to the public once you're there. But there's no way to get there except on those boats.
Is that true?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir.
Okay.
And there you go. That's Paul. Finally, our last call here. This is Kristen from Accountant joining us. Joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, Kristen?
I'm peachy keen. I did want to make a quick comment about the alcoholism thing you've been talking about.
Such a joyful program today. Terrorism, alcohol, we're all going to die. What's up?
Just bringing it up.
Yeah.
Well, because I, too, have often thought the same way you did, but kept my thoughts to myself because it's kind of the unpopular thing.
Because it's the American way to keep your thoughts inside, to share them with no one.
I didn't want to be thrown into,
yes,
a dungeon somewhere.
Appear like all other people outwardly, yes.
Well, I come from a family where there's alcoholism. My grandfather was an alcoholic, and apparently a raging one. He died the year I was born, so I never met him. But he died from complications of too much boozing. My dad apparently was going down the same path, because he was a heavy drinker,
right.
He's a musician, he's out in clubs, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But stopped, completely, cold turkey.
Yeah, just like, decided it wasn't for him.
It's not for me, well, because he saw himself starting to act just like his dad,
Right.
That alcoholic behavior.
Totally.
So he stopped, he was like, I am not going to drink anymore, it's bad, I'm doing bad things. And just stopped.
Well, that's the thing.
It's possible to do.
I'm not saying it's easy, but
no,
it is simple. There's a difference.
But calling it a disease is enabling people to do it more because they say, well, I have no control.
Well, yeah, because as somebody once said, it's doing one thing and calling it another and thus removing all responsibility for it.
Yeah. So I was just, I'm with you, brother, on that.
All right, sister. Fight the power.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Great.
All right. Listen, Rick. A macaque is a monkey, you tools.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm fully aware. I'm complete.
This it was
is
a bird.
No, it's a monkey. Remember, it was.
Oh, it was the.
It was
crazy.
The monkey that killed the bird. Wait, isn't that true? Oh, was it a monkey that killed another monkey?
Followed the spider.
Macaque.
All right, here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
The
Ministry of Information.
We got to do the cannibal watch.
Here's your cannibal watch part two. Yeah. Redux. Rick didn't. Did I hear you?
Well, let's hear the Kink Morning Zoo do this. I don't think they have one.
Yeah, attention. By the way, Les Sarnoff, if you're When you're not busy keeping it trill, you can over there and being being trill to the music and so forth. You can play. You can do this.
Well, police in Uganda are holding a man suspected
Uganda.
Of being a
cannibal. I barely knew you.
Sam Nutsubuga was arrested by residents who handed him over to the police. He was on the police list since May. He originally resided in the Matubu village with his mother, who said he had to quit the village life after her son's alleged unnatural behavior.
Okay, now, this is, you're going to hear in a minute why we separated the two cannibal watches by actually a couple of days. The saucepan story was bad enough. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to brace yourselves now.
During interrogation, Nutsubuga reportedly admitted he eats bodies of dead people but denied having killed anyone. If I get anyone who has just been buried, I have to eat him or her. The human flesh tastes like pork. And if one has spent some days in the grave, it tastes like fish.
So there you go. In case you were wondering about the distinction there. But we have always said that babies taste of chicken. Apparently it's neither. Apparently it's pork, and then later, fish.
At the time of his arrest, bones and teeth suspected of being those of human beings were found in his trouser pockets.
Okay. It's just sort of like to jingle sort of jauntily as he walks down the street, like a man in a 30s movie jingling change. Yes.
The police launched the hunt for Nutsubuga in May following allegations he had attempted to kill and eat Jessica Nawanga. After police launched a hunt for him, he reportedly fled to a hideout in the Ziggy Forest, where police later
the Ziggy Forest, where a small round man with a canary companion lives a black and white life.
This is where police later recovered bones that were suspected of being human beings. He later took off to Kampala. Residents pounced on him on Friday when he returned to Kampala I would imagine this is a chicken, which he wanted to sell to get money for his transportation fee.
Oh, are they referring to a chicken by the C word?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we don't want to confuse people. Nutsubuga reportedly told the police he was initiated into cannibalism by a friend who he only identified as Kuzuzu of Mungo. He allegedly told Kuzuzu...
Of the clan Mungo.
Told him... If he ate human flesh, he received blessings and became wealthy.
Well, that's true. It's sort of like rubbing the red dot in the back of the
You don't find too many poor cannibals around.
Okay, there you go.
Macaque.
There's your cannibal watch. Aren't you glad we didn't do those back-to-back hits? If it's getting cold, reheated. All right, are we done here? Our job is done here for now. Come back. It's 503-733-2970. When we return... Tim Riley, as the Eskimo, we'll check in. We'll talk to our good friend, Matt Lindland, as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. This email says, adding to the last caller's comment, CNN. Oh, wait, this is breaking news here. Hold on, let me find the breaking news. CNN just announced a couple minutes ago the crown of the Statue of Liberty is now permanently closed, never to reopen. Everyone is now safe from the evil stairs. There you go. That's Shannon. All right, 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Just reading emails here about the whatever. All right. It is now, 2:45. So don't forget, like is coming up around 3:06. We now are 4.4% longer here at the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We got Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11. Let me see if I can find this, the Tim Riley as the Eskimo. Let's see. All right.
Actually, it's close. That is a French-Canadian.
I thought it was an Eskimo.
Back in the old un-PC days of 1979.
Isn't an Eskimo an actual thing?
There is an Eskimo, but the person on that is supposed to be a French-Canadian because they were
whatever.
Not held in high regard.
French-Canadians aren't held in high regard?
Not in the northern New England states.
Well, not anywhere. Not even here. In the studio, not even. All right, so I've got that. So we'll play that here in just 1 second. We'll get to Tim Riley as the Eskimo. Just because I enjoy saying that.
Yeah.
I don't believe we'll have time. I'm saying this preemptively. I don't believe we'll have time for the top five.
All right, we'll put that in the black bag, too.
Okay, look, we swapped it out. We got to the cannibal watch today.
I suppose that's
acceptable. Thank God. Thank holy God. England prevails. Let's quickly welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Matt Lindland, who's joining us now. Matt Lindland, how are you, sir?
Good, Rick. How you doing, bro?
I'm okay. We just had cannibal news, and we're going to have zombie news later on. So it's a good day, my friend.
And we got some fight news.
Absolutely. We got cannibalism. We got guys beating each other in the face, and then later on, zombies. So it's the best day ever, pretty much.
Right on.
We talked about sport fight, and then I know you've got the IFL, which is International Fight League, and that's debuting in Portland September 9th, and. Explain what the difference is a little bit, because it's kind of a team thing as opposed to a one-on-one thing, isn't it?
The IFL is a team thing. It's basically the equivalent to, you know, a professional league like NBA or baseball or something like that, where right now there's 8 teams and they're going to have 12 by the January 1st, so there's going to be 12 teams in the league, and then I think they're going to eventually grow more, you know, franchises out there. But Portland has its own franchise. I'm the coach of that franchise, and basically it's a little different. It's a little smaller organization, so I'm kind of the coach, manager, you name it, everything.
Now, is this kind of like sport fight style fighting, though, where it is still guys just going at it one-on-one?
Exactly, one-on-one fights, but they tally up the fights at the end, and the team that wins moves forward instead of the individual. So you really want to work together and make sure you're pulling for each other, else when you get back in the gym on Monday, there could be some more fights.
And then this is happening September 9th at Memorial Coliseum. Now, are you actually competing as a fighter one-on-one, or are you just coaching?
Well, actually, I am competing as a fighter. They not only offered me to coach the team, but then they offered me a super fight on top of that. So I'm going to have my 5 guys that will compete as a team, and then my fight will be the main event, super fight against Jeremy Horn.
Now, is it a super fight because one of you will have a cape and be flying around, or is it just does one of you have superpowers, or is it just because Jeremy Horn? This is because it's 11. It's 11 different bouts, isn't it? I mean, it's a long event.
Yeah, the rounds are slightly shorter for the rest of the fights. They're 4-minute rounds instead of 5-minute rounds. So there's going to be it'll be a little quicker, you know, each fight, but there'll be a lot of action. So fights going on.
So people have seen sport fight, and, you know, I've gone to, three or four different sport fight events now. If you've gone to sport fight, if you've seen it, you want to see this where it's very much the same thing, where it's guys going on one-on-one, but again, it all tallies up like a team, like you said, like the NBA.
Exactly.
It's going to be happening September 9th, and this is actually the first up here. This is the debut in Portland,
debut,
right?
Yeah, this is the debut, and it's in Portland, Oregon. So it's pretty cool. This is an international league. It's going to be, we got a team from Tokyo right now, and I think they're looking to add some more international teams. So it's going to happen all over the world, all across the country, and the debut's here in Portland. So it's pretty cool.
The best thing is that all the teams have names like, it's all like the I'm going to kill you and the I'm going to pull out your spines.
The funny thing is that the owner of the league is also the owner of Wizard Magazine and Toy Fair, and he's into all the comic book genre and stuff.
Right.
So, you know, our team is the Wolf Pack in Portland, and they got the Sabretooths and the Tiger Sharks, and everything's kind of got this comic book theme about it. And last weekend we were out in, right after the sport fight, I went to Chicago for the Wizard Convention, and all these comic book geeks, and my son included, went out there, and we kind of introduced a lot of these people to fighting for the first time. But it's funny, the demographic for comic book geeks is very similar to the demographic for fight geeks.
Totally. So. Fight geeks. That ought to be the name of your team, the fight geeks. You ought to have a team. You ought to just be the Portland guys who will friggin' kill you. That ought to be that. I would totally go see anything that team did. You know, and in this corner, whatever, you know, the Razorbacks. In this corner, the guys who will friggin' kill you. You make a note of that, my friend. You can use that royalty free.
Thank you very
All right.
much.
So it's
and hey, this weekend out in Columbia County at the fairgrounds, we've got an amateur event where these guys that are trying to make their way to the sport fight, to the proving to the Rose Garden, going through the proving ground out in Columbia County, and those tickets are at Tickets West.
And you can also get, if you want to go see the IFL debut, it's September 9th. Fans can purchase tickets, Rose Quarter Box Office, all participating Safeway locations, or by phone, 877-79-ROSE.
You got to cover this one, Rick, because I don't think you've ever seen me put a beating on somebody.
I don't know. I think the only time I saw it was at the last event at Mount Hood when that guy chickened out and didn't show up, and so there was like a
I had to fight Landon. Okay,
there was a guy. Yeah, the guy. There was the one he like sissied out, didn't show up, and there was some other guy that stepped into the ring as like a sub who just knew he was going to get pounded, and so you got to give the guy like respect for that.
He hung in there.
No, it's true. Dude, I wouldn't do it. So I will absolutely be there. It happens September 9th, Memorial Coliseum. Get tickets online at rosequarter.com. And remember this phrase, the Portland guys who will friggin' kill you. All right. Matt Lindland, thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'm going to have to look at changing the name.
Thank you. Matt Lindland, ladies and gentlemen, September 9th in Portland, the International Fight League debuts. All right. Do we have time to do the Tim Riley as the Eskimo?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. Let me find, let's see. People are still calling about Jerry Garcia. The love of God. All right, so this is... let's see. Opening. Is my computer up?
Uh-huh.
All right. See, I'm just opening. They've installed a new audio player on this computer.
Sweetheart. Here's your face, romance.
Sweetheart. All right, let me make sure this is turned up, because this is a kind of a quiet air check. The level is kind of low.
It's from 1979.
So this is a whole air check.
27 years.
And this is a bunch of spots run together. And then is it true that you are all the voices in one of these spots?
Except for the lady.
All right, so is this two spots run together?
They might. This was what was known back then as a station demo. If you went out to prospective advertisers, you would say, we can produce a wonderful Theater of the Mind spot such as these.
No, we actually have one of those, actually. Yeah. There's a demo that we play for this station. Sarah?
Yes.
You were...
Oh, no, I'm just saying...
Your mouth was like you were trying to say something that started with W.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, do we have...
Set us back a little bit.
We have to roll? Okay. Yeah. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Tim Riley.
Sweetheart, is your face romantic? A walk in the woods on a snowy evening. Reminds me of that Robert Frost poem. You know, miles to go before we sleep. Hey, you can't hear a thing I'm saying with a scarf around your face.
I'll say we have miles to go before we sleep. We're lost.
Hey, wait a minute. Listen. Sounds like a snowmobile.
Help! Over here.
Oh, what's the matter? You lost?
Yes, we are.
Well, my name's Pierre. I take you out of woods on my Arctic Cat snowmobile.
Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Come to my cabin later, Toots. Oh, come on, baby. Sit in front with me. Skinny boyfriend, you sit in back.
Such a nice ride.
Arctic Cat is independent suspension.
It feels so powerful.
It has a low forward-mounted engine, and they have 8 models to 1980.
I'd like to have one myself.
See, the all-new 1980 Arctic Cat snowmobiles at Greens Marine, Route 3, Daniel Webster Highway, North Texas.
Yeah.
That was back when
is
I was 10 years old.
Is this the house of Gelinas?
Yes, this is the house of Gelinas. Come in.
I don't believe it. All these pianos and organs. How can you stand all the noise?
All these organs.
Okay, you guys, knock it off. We got company.
Have a seat. Make yourself at home.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Are these you, all of these voices?
Oh, except for the old guy.
You just sat on a Wurlitzer organ.
Honey, wake up. There's someone downstairs.
I'll get him. Hey, what are you doing in here?
I'm stealing light bulbs.
Hey, how can you steal hot light bulbs?
I use the Ferretti's Market WKBR Mighty Grip. Helps you to remove bulbs without burning your hands.
I never thought of that.
All right, I have to intervene at this point. What are you advertising here?
The WKBR Mighty Grips.
Okay.
There are pieces of rubber that you take off light bulbs. So there was a big station promotion.
And the call that letters are, how'd that work out for you?
The call letters were stamped on this piece of rubber.
God. All right.
It has lots of handy household uses.
Yeah, and it's available at Ferretti's Market for 10 cents with each $10 purchase.
Gee, we have one.
Here, take this one.
At 10 years old.
Oh, how can we thank you?
I'll take your color TV.
Oscar, my ring just rolled under the refrigerator.
And it figures, I'll get it. Terrific. I'm late for work as it is, and I tear my trousers.
Here, wear these.
Oh, thanks, babe. Hey, these are covered with cat hair. How many times have I told you to keep that bag of bones away from my clothes?
Don't worry about it. Mighty Grip can take lint and animal hair off clothes in a jiffy.
Oh, we found out it takes animal hair off clothes.
That Mighty Grip just opened bottles.
No, it has a lot of handy uses. Mighty Grip is available for 10 cents with every $10 purchase at Ferretti's Market.
Oh, God. Okay. There you go, kids.
That was back when I was 10 years old.
Kids, don't go into radio.
27 years ago.
Whatever you do. Stay away from radio. How much time are we going to have when we come back?
Like four minutes.
Oops, four minutes. All right, we'll come back. Catherine, all right, if you really must comment on Jerry Garcia. Stay there. We'll come back after this. Lycus coming up around 3:06. Don and Mike at 7. Yeah, stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here is Stillwater. Kids, don't go anywhere. The saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, damn. You know what I didn't do? Can we just bring that down for a minute? Bring the room down for a second. You know what I forgot to play? I'm just going to sit here while we do this. Go nowhere.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents
2 days late.
Week in Geek.
Well, hello! This is Aaron Duran of the fantastically dorky geekinthecity.com with the all DIY edition of The Week in Geek. Gonna start off this week in Geek with some local flavor. On August 12th and 13th, starting at 11 a.m., will be the 2006 Symposium for Portland Zine. Now, I know this may sound like some just kind of hippie, trippy event, but I know a lot of my fellow geeks out there are wannabe comic book publishers or game journal makers, or they just want to get their word out there to paper. This is a perfect event. Go down to Portland Zine Symposium 2006 on August 12th and 13th and find out how to get your work published. You can find out more at pdxzines.com. Come August 18th, you know that we are all going to be there for the world premiere of Snakes on a Plane. However, in a deal with New Line Cinema and Cafe Press, you now have your chance to be forever immortalized in reptilian glory, as Cafe Press and New Line Cinema are asking you, the Snakes on a Plane audience, to create their own Snakes on a Plane merchandise. You can find out more on cafepress.com, where you can also find really great Geek in the City swag.
I am such a shameless whore.
And finally, on Friday and Saturday at 7:20 p.m. and 9:20 p.m., the Hollywood Theater will be showing the Portland Indie Animation Festival 2006. Tickets are $5 per show. You can find out more at pdxanimation.com. I'm Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com, reminding you that knowing is half the battle.
The Week in Geek. Only from the Rick Emerson Show. All right. On AM 970.
There you go. Before we get to Mailman Chris here.
Now?
Yes, I do. Well, okay. I feel like an ass because he works on it and then we never play it.
It's true.
We're always forgetting to play Band-Aid, too.
I know.
I know we suck. Catherine, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was actually going to call in yesterday about this particular issue, but I had to work a double. And because I called in the day before because the woman had said that Jerry Garcia died in 97. Not true. He, in fact, died in 95. I remembered very distinctly. My son was an infant, and this hippie derelict woman living in Eugene, mind you, the birthplace of all of the hippie movement.
Of course.
And so she actually came to my house on August the 9th, and literally, I kid you not, was heaving an uncontrollable sobbing, and as I opened the door, and I had to get her to calm down before she could actually tell me what was wrong.
She was just horrified she was going to have to find a job.
Yes, in fact, you know, you might have to, you know, yes, put down the bong and get a job.
Yes, I'm with
you. And it was absolutely insane. So I remember this day very distinctly because it was, in fact, and has been henceforth a day of great rejoicing in my life.
No, you speak for all of us there, Catherine.
Yes.
All right.
I'm sure that I do. And yes. I do have one more question,
quickly.
And that is, which issue of Bust will Sarah's feet, I believe it is, be displayed in?
I believe it is. I don't know
September?
I don't know if they publish monthly or bi-monthly or whatever, but I believe
the monthly magazine. My husband and I actually love this magazine.
I believe it's September that Sarah's feet will be in an ad in Bust magazine.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, we will look for it, and
right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, now, thank you, Catherine. And we're gone. All right, there you go.
Stop abusing that.
Sorry. No time to be fair to another caller here, as Rush Limbaugh would say. So my apologies if we did not get to your call. I apologize. If we didn't get to your call, tomorrow's Friday. We don't really do an open phone things on Friday. Every day is kind of open phones here. There's no rhyme or reason. So if we did not get to your call today, please feel free to call in tomorrow. We'll absolutely get to you. Let's quickly welcome...
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, official stenographer. How are you, sir?
Not bad.
Fantastic. All right, how are we today?
Well, you made lots of mentions of that we're all going to die, so I get that. You got the Week in Geek and the Eskimo thing there right at the buzzer. Unfortunately, you didn't get the zombie news.
Damn.
You didn't get to the top five.
Damn.
And damn you didn't do the Rockstar recap.
Oh, we didn't even do Rockstar. That's right. Oh, we suck. Well, what's her name? Jill and Josh?
Josh.
Jill and Josh both gone, which is too bad because I liked that guy. I liked Josh. But yeah, he's host. Jill is an untalented whore, and she's gone, and I'm glad for that.
Well, and she had that drama with Storm there at the beginning of the show, so she deserved to go.
Yeah, no, it is true, and I suspect there's more where that came from. No, it's true. All right, and so they're bringing the push-up tally to?
45.
All right.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go. That's Mailman Chris. All right, 45. Yeah, this clearly isn't working. I need to find some new method for keeping myself. It worked for like a day. Now not so much. All right, coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, we'll have a review of World Trade Center from Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com.
No way.
It's true. He's actually seen a film. Let's see. Oh, you know, Scotty's noting I just did get to the Rockstar recap just now. So it's 44 in your face. Let's see. Oh, and also, tomorrow, I believe I've been saying this because I didn't want to say it until it was confirmed. I believe tomorrow we have our snakes on an MFN plane announcement. So that's exciting. That's coming up tomorrow. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J., so much more than it intended. And manager of Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. We want to thank senior radio correspondents Ed McCarthy, Gary Baumgarten, and Jim Roop. See y'all tomorrow. Thank you for being there, as always. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Like us next. Don and Mike at 7, the Rick Emerson Show. We'll see you tomorrow in 21 hours. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Bye.
Who's the doctor's name?